If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Night after night, I watch over this city. But now someone stands in the shadows who knows my every move before I make it. Stalking me. It ends tonight.
Who do you work for?
Welcome again to Animation Aficionados Crossing Over with Tooncast Beyond. We are continuing our look through the DC animated original movies. And once again, we're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
Party pooper. No cake for you.
And we have with us again the host of Tooncast Beyond, TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
And with him, his co-host, Steve Megatron.
Good day, sir.
And we are talking about Batman Under the Red Hood, which proves one thing. It's, you know, as I said earlier, Bruce Timm is really good at distilling stuff, and what works here is the fact that what works here is the fact that he took one of the lamest, you know, characters being brought back to life in the lamest ways in the comics. Jason Todd, the second Robin, the character that was voted to be killed by the fans, no less, overwhelmingly. And there is no Superboy Prime punching the fucking walls of reality to bring him back. No, they made it much darker, much more in line with the Batman mythos, and ultimately a much more satisfying story. And that's the beauty of this, because continuity is a hindrance and a joy at the same time, and Tim has been around long enough to know what to use and where. And that's the beauty of this movie specifically, because this movie makes you understand that the concept of Jason Todd coming back to life inherently by itself isn't flawed. And that's one of the hardest things for someone who has hated Jason Todd as a character, like so many other comic book fans hated him. That's one of the hardest things it takes to say, is the premise of bringing him back isn't flawed. It's just the way that the comics did it, obviously, with Superboy Prime punching the walls of reality. That was flawed. But this totally shows that if you bring it and you tell someone to make it work, it actually can work. You just distill it, take out the other elements, and make it strictly a Batman story, and you got something that's almost hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah. This movie, like, everybody, even after I saw the trailer to this, and even after I saw what little previews that they were showing online before it got released, they everyone that is a comic book fan was like, oh, it's Judd Winnick's work. We're not, you know, we hate it. We don't care. Whatever else. As you just said, you know, Bruce Timm. And I swear, if you guys use this image again, I will kill you. Bruce Timm loves to polish turds.
No, no, this one doesn't deserve that image, because this one actually has removed enough of the Winnick DNA that it doesn't deserve that.
Right.
And, you know, the voice cast is brilliant in this. I mean, Bruce Greenwood, you know, freaking Thomas Vail as Batman. And yes, that's a very old reference, isn't it, guys?
Yes. I said this on Twitter and Facebook earlier today when I was earlier this evening when I was watching the movie. Outside, okay, Kevin Conroy is up on his pedestal where he deserves to be, mm-hmm. you know, voicing the character nearly 20, 25 years after the fact. Bruce Greenwood, best Batman ever outside of Conroy. Bruce Greenwood is the only person at this point in time I want to hear Batman's voice from.
I agree with you 100%.
Let's talk about the John DiMaggio's Joker.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got his own nice spin to it, and it sounds very eerily close to how Hamill would have handled it.
Actually, I think there's a much more sinister note there that Hamill can hit, definitely, but it just takes on a completely different role being voiced by John. I think that's the beauty of it.
Oh, no, yeah. But John can pull off a little bit more of a creepy, like he kind of does in a lot of his roles. Like, it kind of, you know, he adds that extra element to it, which fits perfectly with this film, whereas Hamill's wouldn't necessarily fit with this film.
I think Hamill would have been able to pull it off, but he didn't really need to. Plus, you know, tell the big man, I said, hello.
The only reason why I say I like DiMaggio better in this than I would have liked Hamill is because we've already seen that dark Joker from Hamill. I mean, it would be, if you had got him to do this, it would be probably the exact same thing he did with Return of the Joker. And I'm not saying that as a slight against Hamill. I'm not saying that at all. I much prefer, because this is a different movie, it's a different universe, you know. This is more of, I hate to say this, and I know this isn't right, but to me, this is more of could have been a tie-in between Begins and Dark Knight than Gotham Knight ever was. I know this is its own story, and this comes from the comics and all that stuff, but this movie has the feel of the live-action movies to me.
Until you have Amazo show up.
Oh, God. Now, the one thing I
lasers! He has lasers!
That's the one thing I liked about that scene was NPH, Neil Patrick Harris, as Nightwing, and the comedy. I liked that about the Nightwing character in the movie.
But Neil Patrick Harris actually played Nightwing really well.
He did.
Considering he plays the comedic role more often than not, and Nightwing is always coming up with quick quips that he throws in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a nice choice for that character.
I especially like the scene where he freaking stabbed Amazo in the ears.
Yeah. Well, that's because Batman said he has the exact same
weaknesses as a human.
As a human, yeah. Which, I don't know. That's kind of weird to me. That, like, okay, for those of you who are listening to this show, the only Amazo I know is the silver and gold Amazo from Justice League.
The original Amazo in the comics looks like an elf, so there. And in number two, what I like about this is in the comics they actually said which metahumans that version of Amazo absorbed, so it sort of made the fight with Batman a little bit more unbelievable, because it was basically that winking the Batman stuff in the comics, but here they didn't say which ones, just Batman said big ones. And yeah, that one sort of left it to your imagination. That one, that way you don't have to like roll your eyes and say, come on, Batman shouldn't be able to do blank to an android that has the powers of Superman. That way you don't roll your eyes as much.
Right, yeah.
And like I said, I just love that whole fight, because it was just so dynamic, and Neil Patrick Harris with all those quips. I just love that. Lasers, he's got lasers. Oh my God, that was brilliant, and I especially like the way that they for anyone who is a casual Batman fan that doesn't know anything about Nightwing, I love the way the thugs explain it.
Yeah.
So that way it doesn't stop the movie to show another flashback of the original Dick Grayson doing that. No, right. The thugs know and they explain it.
And see, you didn't need that. I mean, the way they explained it, you didn't need a Nightwing, Dick Grayson, Robin flashback. You needed the Jason Todd Robin flashbacks.
I know, and any sort of Dick Grayson Robin flashbacks would have overpowered any of the Jason Todd moments, and that was the right thing to do. And another great, Wade Williams as Black Mask.
That was creepy.
And what I love was his assistant, Miss Lee, who didn't do anything except for just standing around and looking pretty.
Well, that's what Kelly Vu does, so I mean,
Hey, that's A-okay, but that gets a thumbs up from me.
Yeah. The two things that popped out to me just now looking at the BehindTheVoiceActors.com side-by-side cast listing for Batman Under the Red Hood, I did not know this before, because I've seen this movie two times just now before we did the recording tonight, and I saw it when it initially came out. I haven't seen it since then. Did not know that Kelly Hu, I knew she was in it, but it didn't really register with me till tonight. Kelly Hu and the young Jason Todd, Vincent Martella. Phineas and Ferb reference, ladies and gentlemen. Vincent Martella is the voice of Phineas from Phineas and Ferb, and Kelly Hu voices Stacy from Phineas and Ferb.
Actually, the thing is this. Jason Todd was played by three different actors. Alexander Martella, Vincent Martella, and Jensen Ackles. Yeah, Jensen
from
Ackles.
Supernatural.
So. Yes.
And the thing is this, Andrea Romano must have done a really good job of making sure that they all were like on the same page, because a lot of the nuances in the voices made you believe it was the same character growing up.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you have pros doing this craft. And, what I really enjoyed was also was just a lot of the little hints. I mean, this Ra's al Ghul wasn't close to the David Warner one that I love, but was still very classy and still very well played.
I'm not sure if you had... Okay, Jason Isaacs voices Ra's in this. I think he fits this version of Ra's the best, because the David Warner version is awesome. It's great. Don't get me wrong. But eventually, as that story in the DCAU went on and on and on, he got crazier and more maddening. This one, for this individual movie, you needed a voice for Ra's that was still that complex, calculating person that Ra's al Ghul is. But you didn't need the maddening part of it, because obviously that's where Jensen Ackles' Jason Todd comes in.
And I think it was a shade better than D. Bradley Baker. Sorry, D. Bradley Baker, but your Ra's needed some work.
Which series was he Ra's in?
Steve should know this one.
Who?
D. Bradley Baker was Ra's al Ghul in which series?
He was in Arkham City.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he was all right, but there was still something that was left to be desired in this character, though.
Something was missing. David Warner.
And that's what I picture every time I hear him.
Yeah.
Or something closely resembling that. It never sounds right hearing anything other than David Warner do the voice.
Yeah.
And what I really liked with this movie, though, was the action. I mean, some of these action scenes were just nonstop, action movie thriller stuff. And it knew how to slow down just enough to where it, when the action pumped up again, like the fight with the cyber ninjas, that was pretty cool.
The fight with the cyber ninjas, I can see why this movie's PG-13 at the end, because holy crap.
Yeah.
An eye gouging experience with blood on the wall.
What I loved was that scene where the big one threw that car at Batman and Batman jumped through the door.
Yes.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Oh, God.
And I love how Batman used the miniature rockets.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Neil? How do you feel about this one?
Well, going into it, I really didn't know what to expect, but once it started, I knew exactly where it was going. because I was starting to get worried that, you know, because it's really obvious that the Red Hood is going to be Jason Todd. And I was really worried it was going to be the slow progression of hints. And I'm like, okay, I already know. But no, they really let you know pretty early in the movie. So I really like that they didn't waste a lot of time with that. And I also yeah. And I really like the formula between Batman and Nightwing. Batman, you know, being Batman, and you got Nightwing with all the funny quips, and I really liked all that.
Yeah. What about you? What were you gonna say, Ben?
Well, I also like just that scene that, you know, they didn't have to show it, but just saying what was in that duffel bag.
Oh, like, the heads. 8 heads in a duffel bag.
Bum, bum, yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
How's that for a Joe Pesci reference? But and I also like how, you know, Black Mask is just... he just feels like a nobody that wants to be a somebody. And you know, when he's sitting with, you know, John DiMaggio's Joker, and, you know, Joker says, "Can I have some water, please?" And then, "I'm going to need some guys. Not these guys, they're kind of dead."
Yeah. Again, when I was watching this, I was getting... What the fuck? Okay, edit point on that, Mark. When I was watching this, I was getting screen caps from both this and last week's episode, Crisis on Two Earths. When Joker stands up in the prison cell and is pointing the gun at Black Mask, I screen cap that and I'm like, this movie's not for kids because there's no orange cap.
What I also enjoyed was just it showed the flashback of how the Joker was born with the original Red Hood.
Red Hood, yeah. Well, they kind of made it a point that you were going to expect to see that in this because they had said in the beginning that, oh, the Red Hood's back, it must be Joker. Well, no, he's locked up. There's no way it's him. So, I mean...
Motorcycle fetish.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was more panache, maitre d'. Yours is more motorcycle fetish, yeah. And I just absolutely love the, you know, circle of life in this movie, where in the beginning you have Joker beating Jason Todd with a crowbar, and at the end you have Jason Todd beating Joker with a crowbar.
Yeah, the crowbar was an instrumental element of the original Jason Todd's Death comic. I mean, yeah, when the artist was drawing the Joker going to town and Jason Todd in the original comic, he was venting the frustration of thousands of fans because at that point, nobody liked Jason Todd in the comics.
Yeah. Steve, any other thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, aside from the nice casting choices that they have in here, I like the similar but new takes on the character designs.
Oh, yeah.
They gave a more detailed definition, whereas the DCAU stuff is kind of more streamlined and more, you know, more cartoony, whereas this is more... you can see more of their facial expressions, more of the lines in their faces. I mean, there's a lot more detail put into this over previous DC Universe or DC Animated Universe stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely, you know, much more a feature film animation style, and I think it actually worked. And one thing I really did enjoy was Talia's little non-speaking cameo.
Yeah. Thank God Raish was still alive at that point, because we are not going to be talking about Out of the Past.
Deanie wrote that episode.
Yes, I know he wrote that episode. Paul Dini, as much as I love him as a writer, he's a very sick man.
Well, he gave Raish what he always wanted.
Okay, a woman. Okay, let's not go there. The one thing that really interests me about this film, even going into it, if you don't pay attention to the credits at all and you didn't know that it was going to be Bruce Greenwood voicing Batman, the fact that you don't hear Batman's voice for the first good 10 minutes of the film, because he's just riding his motorcycle trying to get to Jason. You don't hear him talk until after the building blew up.
Yeah.
And I like that way that they portrayed Batman. He is someone who is silent in his movements. And, you know, he's not going to be sitting there, you know, talking to Alfred on the motorcycle or anything like that. And it's really the, you know, it's Raish, you know, doing the exposition of, you know, where is he? Is he going to get there in time? No, he's not, you know. So I really, really did enjoy that. And then when, obviously, Batman spoke, I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more.
Well, you know, Batman, you know, like Six Shot, you never waste a lot of time talking.
That was terrible.
Five down is like shooting cyber ducks in a barrel. So we are the IGN replacement crew. Steve, 0 to 4.
5.
Okay. Ben?
I'll definitely give this a 4, and a 4 is a double 4 because you have to get this and also get one for a friend or family member.
Neil?
I'll give it a 4.
I give it a 4 as well. It is on DVD. The DVD really kind of makes me mad.
No extras.
No, 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 no. It's not even that. It's on single disc. It's on 2-disc edition, and it's on. I think it's on 2-disc Blu-ray as well. The problem I had when I bought the thing, it was the first ever Blu-ray I bought, because they started doing this thing of, oh, hey, if you get the 2-disc regular edition, you get all these features, but if you just buy the Blu-ray, you get one more feature that we're not going to put on the regular edition. They put an extra feature on the Blu-ray for this movie about, like, the history of Robin that wasn't on the 2-disc regular DVD. And I was like, okay, so I bought this. And I thought at the time, because when I bought my new tower at the time, my computer, it said that it was equipped for, you know, it has a Blu-ray drive in it. It said it was equipped to be able to, you know, show, run Blu-rays. Well, didn't realize at the time you had to buy an actual extra cable for it to actually run, you know, see it in Blu-ray high def. So I'm like, crap, I just wasted $24 on this Blu-ray for one special feature. That's a little ridiculous. Was there a short with this one? Wasn't the Green Arrow short on this one? Or is that?
I believe so, and I
think it was.
I did not enjoy that short that much. It was an okay story with. It didn't really do anything for me because.
Oh no no no! Hold on no no. That's the next one. This the short that was with this was the Jonah Hex short.
Oh, I love that one. Thomas Jane
is Jonah Hex.
The right casting decision, not the wrong one. And this and man, that madam, that evil madam. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we're going to take a break here on Tooncast Beyond. You're going to hear some ads, and we will come back to close the show.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kind of.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG1 Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in. 2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Now back to Tooncast.
We are back here on Tooncast Beyond. All right, Ben, sum it up really quickly. Final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, like I said, it just amazes me how someone could take such a flawed concept and prove that the concept wasn't flawed, it was the execution. And really, you know, Under the Red Hood makes me believe that there could have been a way in the comics to bring back Jason Todd without it being utterly retarded. And this proves that it was just a question of who was doing it, not it was done. So
right.
Definitely this is one of my favorites.
Neil, what about you? Final thoughts?
Well, like I said, I came into it, I didn't know what to expect, and I went away liking it. So, you know, I don't really have much else to say. It's got a lot of action, a lot of humor. Go watch it.
Steve?
I'd have to say it's ultimately my favorite out of all of them now, topping the previous episode, obviously. Between the voice acting, the action, the comedy, I mean, there was, and this movie was dark.
Yeah.
Which was the great part about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a single scene of daylight. I mean, there may be like one scene where it's daylight, but the rest of it, it's all done at nighttime.
That's just perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's a Batman story, so, you know. And for me, I agree with you guys. It was very well done. The voice cast is great. The action is great. The animation is great. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the websites geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG1Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Neil?
Neil Sama.
Ben, what's the AA Twitter?
A Aficionados.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork and facebook.com/animationaficionados. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados crossover and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe animated movie spotlight with Superman Batman Apocalypse.
The pain already begins.
Oh, stop it. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Chiefs, Mr. Neal.
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And Ben the host.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time.
Good night.
Goodbye.
You know what I missed most about running with you? The toys. Stay sharp. We're not done.
I go cuckoo for cocoa puffs while listening to Tooncast.
We're all here because each of us, in our own way, fights with the hope of a better tomorrow.
You didn't think you could just walk away, did you? This ends now.